The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents. Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Normal Show Live, the voice of the Marijuana Nation. We are so glad to have you here on Tuesday, February 16th, 2010. It's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. We're going to bring you 60 minutes of news, talk, interviews, information, and more by, for, and about the cannabis community. And joining us in our virtual studio from Astoria, Oregon, my good friend and half-sister, Cannabis Carrie.
Hi, Russ. How are you doing today?
Oh, Carrie, it's an adventure here. I'm doing some new settings here at Normal Show Live, and I got all wrapped up into fixing it and looked up, and there was like 15 minutes before the show went on. So I'm kind of in a panic right here. But how are you doing up there in Astoria? How was the three-day weekend?
Oh, it was wonderful. We had great weather. I'm sorry if you still have snow if you're listening to me. You're welcome to come and stay a few days at my place. It's beautiful here.
Yes, Carrie's got a beautiful balcony outlook over the Columbia River, the mouth of the Columbia leading out there to the Pacific Ocean, that beautiful bridge. What's that, like a four-mile bridge out there?
4.1 miles between Oregon and Washington. It's a big river.
They do a cool little run every year on that bridge, don't they? Some sort of benefit run?
That's right. You probably don't remember that, but a few years ago, me and your lovely wife, Morgan Fairchild, did that run across the bridge. It was fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Carrie brings us our news right after the first break. Carrie, what are we looking forward to in the headlines today?
Well, today we're going to cover a story that is not cannabis-related, so you're going to have to tune in, stay tuned to hear that. We're also going to go to New Mexico and look at how they're expanding their medical marijuana program. And then we're going to go to a very controversial story that just happened this weekend, a raid in Denver. We're going to cover the specifics of that case.
Oh, boy, yeah, this raid in Denver. We got some report from John Doe from John Doe Radio on that one. So we'll get to that just a bit later. And Carrie, we'll put you on hold here until we get to the news segment. Also today for our Daily Toker Tunes, it's Electric Tuesday, where we bring you the best in electronica, disco, dance, house, trance, new age, experimental. Boy, if it's got a microchip that's making music, we've got it in your Electric Tuesday. Sarah Kant from Boston, Massachusetts, our volunteer music editor with Sarah Kant Photography. She'll be joining us right after the 20 after break for some new electronica music for you. And then at the bottom of the hour, being that it's Tuesday, we've got our California Marijuana Report with Eric Brenner, sponsored by Beverly Hills Normal 90210.org. Eric is bringing to us an interview with Donna Lambert. She's a medical marijuana provider in Southern California, in San Diego specifically, who is being persecuted and prosecuted by the district attorney, Bonnie Dumanis, who believes there is no such thing as legal medical marijuana in San Diego. We'll get that interview at the bottom of the hour. And then at 45 after, we've got some updates on our CBS Times Square billboard campaign. Change.org has gotten involved in the campaign. We've got a petition you can sign if you want to let CBS know what you think about their morals in choosing which political advocacy ads to run. All of that and more coming up on today's Normal Show Live. Stick with us. We'll be right back after this.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as in multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
You want to legalize it? Call your congressman today. 202-224-3121. It's free, it's easy, and you don't even have to give your name, just your zip code, and they'll hook you up to your congressman. Call 202-224-3121 and tell Congress you support marijuana legalization.
Liberate your mind. Liberate your mind. That's what you got to do. Liberate your mind.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carrie.
We cover issues about cannabis law reform here on Normal News, but today on the grandmother serving the senior.
Oh, Carrie, we're having some problem with the delay here with the Skype connection. Let's see if we can get you connected a little bit better. Are you still hearing me okay? Oh, that terrible sound is the sound of a Skype call being dropped. We're going to dial right back out to Cannabis Carrie, see if we can get her back on the line. This is the fun of live internet radio. Sometimes we've just got to make do with the technology we can afford. We'll get this call right back out to Carrie here for your Normal Show Live News. Want to thank everybody for hanging out in the chat room today.
The person whom you're trying to reach is currently unavailable.
Well, that can't be a good thing here. All right, let's go to the normal news here that we've got up online. I wanted to talk about the normal ad that we had running with the Money Tree ad. This is the short 15-second video animation that we had put forth. We were approached by Neutron Media, a CBS-oriented company, to provide this advertisement on the Times Square billboard. This is that big, huge billboard, video billboard in Times Square that everybody knows about. And, of course, we already reported on how that was a signed contract. We were ready to go. And then, of course, CBS pulled out at the last minute. And the latest part of the controversy was how CBS saying that they would it was too much of an advocacy ad for a political controversial political point, and yet they were still willing to show the Tim Tebow ad on the Super Bowl. This was the ad by Focus on the Family that was part of their anti-abortion campaign. So this Tim Tebow ad, we were quite surprised and shocked that, sure, they were, CBS was quite happy to show an advertisement for a nonprofit that was involved in advocacy against abortion, but they weren't so willing to show an ad that was nonprofit advocacy in favor of marijuana legalization. Well, the latest update on this took place yesterday. It was President's Day, and we had the day off, but we, anyway, we I took a look at the net, and I came upon this story where the folks in Atlanta, Georgia, a anti-abortion group there in Atlanta, Georgia, had put up an ad on CBS billboards, and this ad on the CBS billboards says, "Black babies are an endangered species." and it's got this large picture of a black infant, right, an African-American baby. Black babies are an endangered species. And then a website that says TooManyAbortions.org or something like that. Very shocking billboard. And, of course, this is all there on the CBS billboards in Atlanta. This was not too shocking for them to run, you know, calling black babies an endangered species. But Normal's ad suggesting that legalizing marijuana would be have economic benefit, that was far too shocking. We'll have more updates on that coming up at the bottom of the hour. But I do believe we've got Cannabis Carrie back on the line in Astoria, Oregon. Carrie, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
All right. Well,
you were gone for a little while, and now you're back.
All right. Well, let's give you a shot at that news story that you were starting out right at the top of the hour there.
Okay. Well, we were just covering a story about a first-time nonviolent drug offender who is in her 17th year of a 27-year-old federal sentence. She wrote a letter to President Obama asking for a commutation of her sentence that was posted on the Huffington Post front page on Monday, and I thought it was really important that we talk a little bit about it.
Yes.
She was escaping a violent and abusive relationship, and at 21 years old with two young children, she ended up taking refuge out of state with a cousin. The only problem, her cousin was a crack cocaine dealer. And even though she didn't use the drugs, she's reporting, she helped her cousin by running errands and helping him transfer money. After a few years of living this lifestyle, she decided to get her girls away from that. And she moved back to her hometown, enrolled in a welfare-to-work program, and was getting back on her own two feet. Soon after, she was arrested, indicted, and convicted of conspiracy to distribute crack cocaine based on her time with her cousin. Now, she was sentenced to life in prison based on mandatory sentencing and the amount of drugs involved in her cousin's operation. Because she had no information to give to prosecutors and she led such a small and peripheral role, she ended up getting a much heavier sentence than any of the others involved. Her cousin, who only served a few years, has written letters on her behalf. Now, years later, her life sentence was reduced to 27 years. She dreams of getting out and starting a nonprofit dedicated to providing community services for the children of incarcerated parents. Now, we have to pay for her experience with the prison sentence, and we will continue to pay for it for another decade, all the while being denied of her contributions to society. This is just an example of the perversion of justice that sums up the decision by lawmakers to declare war on so many of its citizens by choosing a punitive rather than a rehabilitative model to deal with society's drug issues.
Yeah, and we posted this up on the Stash blog as well at stash.normal.org. And you're right, it's not a story about marijuana, but it is a story about drug war thinking and prohibition. And it involves something called the crack powder disparity. A lot of people don't know about this, but crack cocaine and powder cocaine are treated completely different by our legal system, despite the fact that, chemically speaking, crack cocaine and powder cocaine are identical, at least with regards to the active ingredients. The main difference, though, between crack cocaine and powder cocaine is that crack cocaine is cheap and used in the urban areas by people who are poor and more likely to be people of color, whereas powder cocaine is used more likely in the suburbs by folks that are a little better off, well-to-do, and tend to be more white. Right. So there is this disparity between crack and powder in that crack is the poor black coke and white powder is the rich white coke. So what's the problem with that disparity? Well, it has to do with our mandatory minimum sentencing. We all know about this. Mandatory minimum sentencing means that when you're caught with this drug, that you get sentence X, you know, however many years it is, and the judge can't do anything about that. That you can't give you leniency because it's your first time offense. They can't make any changes to the sentencing. Mandatory minimum sentencing, they must sentence you to a certain amount of years. So, when we look at the sentencing for crack cocaine, you can get the same sentence for 5 grams of crack cocaine as you get for a half a kilo of powder cocaine. That's right. 5 grams of crack in the inner city gets you the same time as half a kilo of powder in the suburban clubs. Right? This is a 100-time disparity. This just means that we are sending poor and most likely black and Latino people to prison for sentences that it would take a rich white person in the suburbs 100 times the amount of cocaine to get the same sentence. And in her letter, she mentions, had she been sentenced for powder cocaine out of her 17 years she's been in prison so far, she'd already be out of prison If it were powder cocaine, she was sentenced for crack cocaine. And remember, this woman wasn't using crack cocaine. She wasn't making crack cocaine. She wasn't even selling crack cocaine. She was living with her cousin, trying to escape an abusive relationship, and she was running errands for him. She'd wire money every now and then. She'd pick up things or deliver things now and then. But she wasn't buying. She wasn't selling. She's like so many women who are the wives or girlfriends of high-level traffickers or smugglers who get caught up in this, in these conspiracy charges. And since they don't have any names to give up, they don't have anyone to roll over on, they're the ones that suffer and go to prison for long sentences. Her boyfriend who was, or I'm sorry, her cousin who was involved in this didn't even get this kind of sentence that she got. The people who usually do the trafficking and do the selling and do the making don't get the sentences that the people who get the conspiracy get sentenced for, often because those other people can plea bargain to a lesser sentence by giving up people higher up on the chain.
And New Mexico has a relatively small population in their state's medical marijuana program. The 1,188 patients that are registered with the state might have some company, as New Mexico has just expanded their program to include inflammatory autoimmune-mediated arthritis as their 15th qualifying condition. New Mexico has had medical cannabis since they passed the Lynn and Aaron Compassionate Use Act in 2007, making them the 12th state to allow legal access to medical marijuana. They had added 8 additional qualifying conditions just in this last year. Also up for consideration but dismissed were 2 other conditions, bipolar disorder and migraine headaches. New Mexico does provide a petitioning system to add debilitating medical conditions through a public hearing with the Medical Advisory Board. They meet at least twice a year to evaluate claims that conditions could benefit from the use of medical cannabis. The New Mexico Medical Marijuana Program is overseen by their Department of Health. Russ?
Well, this is great. Most of the medical marijuana states that have a qualifying list of conditions, like Oregon, for example, they do have some mechanism by which you can petition to have more conditions added to the list. Problem is that a lot of these conditions don't get second consideration, and oftentimes the legislators aren't going off of, you know, good medical advice when they make these changes. I'm glad that New Mexico added this autoimmune arthritis condition, but to deny migraine. Now, I know with bipolar, the jury's still out on that. There's still not, you know, clear evidence with bipolar disease. But with migraine and cluster headaches, the evidence is overwhelming that medical marijuana has a beneficial effect for the sufferers of those disorders. I can tell you personally, my wife is a patient in Oregon for migraine headache, and it is the best possible treatment.
In Denver, a 36-year-old man's home was raided on Friday by local and federal agents. Chris Barkowitz, who is growing medical marijuana, is facing 1 charge of possession of marijuana with the intent to distribute. If convicted, he is facing 5 to 40 years in prison and a fine of $2 million. Federal prosecutors say that they are preparing documents to charge Barkowitz after finding 224 plants in various stages of development. Now, 105 of those out of that big number were very small clones with no root system. According to a DEA affidavit, DEA agents read an article on the internet that referred to an individual who was operating a marijuana cultivation operation. In the report, Barkowitz was interviewed and provided an electrical bill to the journalist that showed he owed $3,694.92 for the last 2 months of service. That led to law enforcement asking for a consent to search his residence. In a move he is probably regretting, he signed a consent to search form, then was also read his Miranda rights. Now, U.S. Attorney David Gallette and the Drug Enforcement Administration that helped with the raid said that Barkowitz had more plants in the state allowed, adding that he only presented 12 certificates showing more plant as a caregiver, and the state does allow 6 plants per patient, but it also allows people who have more plants a chance to show that such greater amounts were medically necessary to address the patient's needs. Now, Barkowitz, of course, is hoping to show prosecutor that he falls under this category of medical use. This may be the first time that federal agents have targeted a medical grow operation after the U.S. Attorney General's office set guidelines for federal agents not to use any resources to focus on individuals whose actions are in compliance with existing state laws. DEA special agent in charge, Jeffrey Sweeten, said his agents will not target medical marijuana dispensaries unless there are unusual circumstances. Now, we're going to follow this case and keep you updated when more information becomes available.
Oh, my God. How many times do we have to tell people, do not consent to a search? Yes, you cannot consent to a search. If they do not have a warrant, they're not coming in the home. Furthermore, if police knock on your door, you don't even have to open the door. You can pull the window aside to see who it is. You can say, excuse me, do you have a warrant? Can I see you press it up against the window, please? You do not even have to answer the door for police. And a lot of people don't realize that. They'll go and open the door, and then when the door opens, the police will claim, oh, I smell something, and they'll use that as probable cause to come into your house. Don't open the door for police. Use the all-important peephole. If you got one of those little peepholes on the door, use that and demand to see a warrant before you let anyone in. And someone in the chat room mentioned here, you know, that it sucks for him, but he shouldn't have bragged. That's another thing that people ought to know, is that loose lips cause rips. Never brag about your grow. Never brag about what's going on with regards to medical marijuana. I even like to tell people that unless you're active as an activist or something like that, don't even let people know you're a medical marijuana patient. Why give them the opportunity for something bad to happen? All right, folks, it's 21 after the hour. I'm a little bit late today. I'm so sorry. I hope you started without me. We'll be right back after this with your Electric Tuesday tunes and Sarah Kant from Boston. This is Normal Show Live.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man, reefer man? If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Law420.com.
Hello, I'm Russ Belville, Outreach Coordinator for Normal. In my job, I read literally hundreds of headlines each month involving nonviolent, productive citizens whose lives are ripped apart by a marijuana or drug arrest. Many citizens could avoid arrest by refusing police searches and remaining silent, but police are well-trained to confuse and intimidate. That's why you have a right to speak to an attorney before answering any police questions. I hope you never need to exercise that right, but if you do, make your first call to the law offices of John C. Lucy IV. John Lucy is an accomplished criminal defense attorney with expertise in Oregon's medical marijuana law. John Lucy understands and respects cannabis and drug consumers of all backgrounds. Call John C. Lucy IV at 503-227-6000 or visit in downtown Portland. Address available at law420.com. That's John C. Lucy IV at 503-227-6000 or visit law420.com today.
Of Americans no longer support arresting and jailing marijuana smokers, and nearly as many support the medical patients having access to medical marijuana. And over 80% of our citizens now believe the war on drugs is an ineffective failure. So the question is, when will the government's misguided war on adult marijuana smokers finally end? When? Simple. When you and your like-minded friends, family, and co-workers get involved with an organization such as the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, also known as NORML. My name is Keith Stropp, and I founded the organization in 1970. Contact us at NORML, toll-free, 888-67-NORML, or by visiting the organization's up-to-date webpage at www.normal.org.
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Our PodSafe music is donated by freedom-loving musicians who support our goal of ending adult marijuana prohibition. Today we bring you tunes for Electric Tuesday, our segment featuring the best of modern electronic music in the genres of dance, new age, house, and electronica. Brought to you by Sarah Kant Photography. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now, here's some great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes. All right, we're going to go all the way up to Boston, Massachusetts, and we've got Sarah Kant on the line with us. Sarah, how are you doing up in Boston?
I'm all right. It's been one of those days today, but other than that, I'm doing good. How are you today, Russ?
Oh, I'm having a day here. I just got your song downloaded here, and I'm trying to get it loaded up on the machine, and I'm having a little difficulty here. But why don't you go ahead? Yeah, it's we're having a live day, that's for sure. But why don't you go ahead and tell people about the song, and I'll get it pulled up here while you talk.
All right. Darling of the Dead is an experimental electronic project of Alexis Origin, hailing from Karlstad in Värmland, Sweden, and currently making his residence in Ronneby in Blekinge, Sweden. He has been publishing music on the internet since 1998, most recently on his blog. All come via his long-running record label called Felicity Gold, a discordian record label focusing mostly on experimental music from a wide range of genres, but a largely dark atmosphere from all of its artists. THC Dreaming, original Hashish Mix, is an excellent example of experimental music in the genres of industrial EBM and noise, perhaps reminiscent of such seminal early bands in these genres as Throbbing Gristle, Skinny Puppy, and The Art of Noise. Indeed, given the influence such bands had on electronic music as a whole, this piece harkens back to the beginnings of synthesized music, but with a modern feel. Although lengthy and a little repetitive, the zombie bass lines and flowing instrumental melodies contrasted with buoyant, spacey Eastern influences make this track a marijuana-soaked joy for fans of cannabis and these genres. Alex Sarisian and Calissi Gold can be found on their blog at calissigold.se, on the audio archive at archive.org/calissi_gold, and on GarageBand at username Darling of the Dead.
All right. Well, thank you, Sarah, so much. This song here, Darling of the Dead, and we'll have the links up at our blog, stash.normal.org, coming up very soon. Thanks a lot, Sarah. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Russ.
Big thanks to Sarah Kant and our Electric Tuesday tune. This tune and many more are available at stash.normal.org in our Daily Toker Tunes archive. Just check out stash.normal.org. Look in the main menu under Media, and then look for Toker Tunes. If they've given us permission to let you download it, it'll be there. We're right back with the California Marijuana Report. Stick around. This is Normal Show Live.
On the road again. Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Friends, it's time we legalize the responsible use of marijuana and stop treating marijuana smokers like criminals. We're destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of good, hardworking Americans every year in this country for no good reason. There's absolutely nothing wrong with smoking pot. For more information on how you can help legalize marijuana, please contact Normal at NORML.org.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
California ain't holding me back. Here in California.
California has long been the epicenter of marijuana law reform in the United States. Every Tuesday, we're joined by Eric Brenner, the producer of the California Marijuana Report, for an interview with an important figure in cannabis in the Golden State. You can hear the entire California Marijuana Report online at California Normal's site, canormal.org, and Beverly Hills Normal at normal90210.org. Now, here with another great interview is Eric Brenner.
And this week on the California Marijuana Report, we are joined by Activist of the Year, Marijuana Activist of the Year, Donna Lambert. She is facing 7 felony counts as a result of Operation Green RX and Bonnie Dumanis, the District Attorney of San Diego County. Donna Lambert, we are so happy to have you on the California Marijuana Report today. Welcome.
Thank you, Eric.
Donna, tell us, what is the latest with your case?
Office is still offering me 1 felony with no jail time. My offer back to them is drop my case. So we have a trial date set for April 13th, which means that we should have my trial going on 420. It'd be nice to have a jury come back with a not guilty verdict on 420. That's what I'm hoping for. But my attorneys think that the trial will go on for a little longer than that. Readiness hearing I had, they were actually down to 4 months of probation, but the feeling that I have is that a felony is a felony. They can offer me 40 felonies or 20 felonies or 1 felony, but the reality is this is medical marijuana. I feel what I've done is legal, and it's not a crime, and to sign any kind of paper saying that I agree I'm a narcotics offender, it would be betraying what I believe is an important cause.
Now, why won't the district attorney drop this case? What is her reasoning behind this?
It's not about me. It's about medical marijuana. And they told me they won't drop my case for 2 reasons. They said they want to draw a line in the sand that any exchange of money for marijuana is against the law. And we asked them to read the case Butte County. And the head of narcotics who's prosecuting my case said he didn't have time to read the latest case law on medical marijuana. My friend, who's an attorney who is with me, said to him, how could you prosecute people then? And he just didn't have anything to say. And then he did admit, he said, the other reason we cannot drop your case is it is political. It is a political issue. It's a political case. And we had at least 15-minute long discussion about the politics of why I felt it would be better for them to drop my case before it went to trial. But they're not dropping any medical marijuana cases, especially mine, I think because people are paying attention to it.
How much jail time are you facing, Donna? How much prison time is Bonnie Dumanis, the district attorney of San Diego, asking for Donna Lambert?
They really haven't threatened me. We sat down when I had fired my first lawyer. I brought my second lawyer in with me, but I hadn't officially hired her, so I was able to actually sit down at the table with the head of narcotics who's prosecuting my case. For 2 quarter ounces, that's who has my case, is the head of narcotics. And it was a week after the Jovan Jackson trial down here where a storefront collective owner won his case. And we were able to sit down for 2.5 hours with the head of narcotics and discuss, you know, medical marijuana politics, case law, and San Diego overturning the law. And he actually told me that they don't know what my problem is because they're not even trying to put me in jail.
Interesting.
Except for if I take one of their felonies. He said I could take one of their felonies, and I said, I don't believe that I committed a crime, and so it would be wrong to sign your paper saying that I committed a felony just to avoid going to jail. And then the judge told me that I need to understand that I'm looking at up to 3 years in prison.
Now let's talk about the Jovan Jackson victory down there in San Diego. Do you believe that his victory in court against District Attorney Bonnie Dumanis is actually going to hurt you because maybe she's even more intent on getting a conviction in this?
No, I don't think it's going to hurt me or help me. I just am so glad to Mr. Jackson for having the courage to fight it all the way. I went to all 8 days of his trial, and it does take some courage to do that in San Diego because it's a pretty scary situation down here. But I think that with my case, they weren't going to let go no matter what, because right from the very beginning, from the day I got out of jail, I've been exposing their Operation Green RX and their Endless Summer and the lies and the fraud that they presented to the public about it. And so I've been pretty vocal down here about what's going on. And so, they assigned the head of narcotics to my case. Not even the regular prosecutor. This is the boss of all narcotic prosecutors prosecuting me for 2 quarter ounces of marijuana. So they're putting everything they have into trying to get a conviction on me.
What was the look on the district attorney's face when the jury came back with a not guilty verdict on the Jovan Jackson case?
Well, I was sitting behind, and I was sitting behind the prosecutor, so I couldn't see the look on their face. I know he looked a little red in the face afterwards. I had goosebumps. So I couldn't really see the prosecutor. As soon as they had read the verdict, and then they cleared the courtroom, and there was news reporters, and there's links on my Facebook page, Donna Lambert, once you link to that, there's links to interviews with the jurors and with Mr. Jackson and stuff like that. It was amazing. It was just amazing that happened. I was amazed to see. I'd been told by attorneys all over California there's no chance of a fair trial, and it was amazing to see this judge actually let all the evidence be presented to a jury, and the jury just said this. There's nothing in the law that indicates that this is illegal.
The media coverage in terms of Operation Green RX, how has the media coverage been? Have they been very biased towards the prosecution, or do you feel you've been receiving unbiased media coverage for the cause?
Honestly, with the exception of a couple TV stations, the media is totally and completely controlled by the DA's office. And so I don't think there's been anything biased back and forth. I think they just ignore it, and they pretend it doesn't happen. And so I don't think that they've been biased. I think they pretend it's not going on. And they represent big business, big interests, the DA's office. I think the media is, the general media is mostly propaganda for what the government or big corporations want people to hear.
Well, and just from somebody who's worked at a major market radio station, I can tell you this. Each reporter does have a certain amount of leeway in terms of what questions he or she is going to ask at a particular press conference. And if they just buy into the lines that the police are feeding them without questioning, do you have proof, or that sort of questioning, it just kind of blends into a very biased promotional video for the police and the district attorney. So I do know what you're saying in regards to the police and the media being in cahoots. Let's talk strategy here. You have this trial coming up in April. Are you willing to talk to us about some legal strategies here today?
Well, first I want to say that I don't know if people are aware, but at one point I fired the first attorney, and I was without attorney for a month, and two great attorneys stepped in to help me for free, both of them so believing in this cause that they're willing to really put some effort into this. I think we have a good chance. And do you mind if I say their names?
Go ahead.
Okay, so Mark Blumel is one of them down here in San Diego, and he's also on the Medical Marijuana Task Force. And I feel so confident that he's going to fight, you know, above and beyond. Whether I gave him cash, he's doing it because he believes in it. And also Mara Felson, and she's also a good friend, and she's doing it because she believes in it too. And so I want to really say I appreciate their work and their efforts and their offer to represent me for free. So other than that, the defense strategy, I think, is to argue the law. I think that if we have a judge willing to let the jury hear everything, I don't think there's going to be a problem. I don't see why there would be.
Medical marijuana will be used as a legal defense in the courtroom. Is that correct?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. There's medical marijuana throughout. I have recommendations from four different doctors. Throughout their police reports, there's medical marijuana. The police officer had a medical marijuana card and pretended to be a patient. On every page of the discovery stuff, there's medical marijuana. And then there's their idea of evidence is me giving a speech on medical marijuana, and that's supposed evidence of some sort of criminal activity. So it's definitely a medical marijuana case. Well, and if a judge were to try to declare it otherwise, I think we wouldn't be able to proceed with the trial because it is so medical marijuana. It is medical marijuana on trial. In fact, I don't really feel that they're putting me on trial, and I might have to go to jail if I lose or this, that, whatever. But this whole issue with the San Diego and the head of narcotics prosecuting it is about medical marijuana and their attempt to overturn the law.
After this case is all done and you're a free woman, which is what I'm going to make a prediction right here, right now on the California Marijuana Report, that Donna Lambert will be completely vindicated and you will be free of all charges here at the end of the day. After that's said and done, what is next for Donna Lambert?
I have this fantasy of taking a camper and driving into the middle of the woods and in the redwood forest and just having peace and just having a month to kind of de-stress and get in tune with nature and just let all this go away. It's been pretty intense. It's just been a little over a year now, and it's been a pretty big fight.
Donna Lambert, I want you to stay tough. I want you to know you have some good friends up here at the California Marijuana Report. We've supported you from day one. I understand that it would have been a lot easier for you to take that plea and accept the one felony on your record. This was the more difficult road, and I commend you for that. And so many others around the world who are listening to this are very, very pleased to have someone such as yourself representing the medical marijuana movement. Donna Lambert, thank you so much for joining us today on the California Marijuana Report.
Thank you, Eric.
Marvel Show Live reminds you to never smoke and drive impaired. Hang out for a while and share.
Cause the day was hard and your work was long and you need a break from all that's wrong. You better look at the clock cause it's 4:19. Time to reach in that pocket for your bag of green and smoke that weed. Smoke that weed. Smoke that weed.
Marijuana and alcohol are the two most popular recreational drugs in America. Marijuana smoking is non-toxic, relatively safe, and has a low risk of dependence. Alcohol drinking is potentially fatal, dangerous to society, and is quite addictive. Marijuana is safer, so why are we driving people to drink? That's the question of the new book, Marijuana is Safer, So Why Are We Driving People to Drink? By Paul Armentano, Mason Tvert, and Steve Fox. Visit Amazon.com or ChelseaGreen.com today to order your copy of Marijuana is Safer, or visit MarijuanaIsSafer.com.
All right, everyone, welcome back. 47 after the hour here at Normal Show Live, and I want to continue to talk about something I mentioned earlier on the show, and that is the controversy still going on with regard to CBS's advertising and refusal to air advocacy ads from Normal. Before we get to that, though, let's take a real quick look at our cannabis community calendar.
It only comes twice a day, but I don't care. It's 4:20-something.
All right, we're checking out your cannabis community calendar, which you can find at norml.org/calendar. Tonight, Tuesday, February 16th, we are honoring Detroit's indigenous music. You can check out friendsofgeorge.blogspot.com. This is in Detroit, Michigan, and they're going to be honoring Detroit's music, their jazz and blues and R&B, of course. You can get more information on this through the folks at Wayne County Normal. Griffin Rivers at 517-974-1863. On Wednesday, February 17th, the Iowa Board of Pharmacy is holding their hearing for the rescheduling of marijuana and to decide other medical marijuana issues. The meeting is open to the public at the Iowa State Historical Building, 600 East Locust Street, Des Moines, Iowa. Iowa Normal wants you to know all about it. Check out iowanormal.org for details. Also in Michigan on Wednesday, Benzie County Normal of Michigan meets every third Wednesday of the month for potluck dinner and a movie. Contact Reverend Steve at 231-882-4496 for details. And also a general meeting for Cal State University Fresno Normal taking place at the Family Food and Science Building, Room 216A, a general meeting and panel discussion on marijuana facts. That's at Cal State University Fresno. Check out normal.org/calendar for more information. On Thursday, February 18th, there's a town hall meeting for Sander Levin at the United Food and Commercial Workers Local 876 in Madison Heights, Wisconsin. Representative Levin is going to be speaking, and we want folks there to ask him questions about healthcare reform and supporting medical marijuana. Also on Thursday, February 18th, in Farmington, Michigan, the Farmington Compassion Club is meeting. You can send an email to farmingtoncompassion@gmail.com. Also on Thursday, University of New Hampshire Normal is having their meeting at the MUB 334 room. And Philly Normal is having their open meeting at the A Space, 4722 Baltimore Avenue in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. For more information, check out phillynormal.org. We've got nothing on the calendar for Friday, but coming up on Saturday, February 20th, in Kansas City, they're having a special 420 meeting to get ready for their 420 celebration. This will be at 3918 Broadway Street in Kansas City, Missouri. Check out kcnormal.org for details.
It's a normal shout-out.
All right, our shout-out today goes out to the state of Indiana. We've got a couple of great chapters in Indiana, Indiana Normal based in Indianapolis, and Southwestern Indiana Normal. And if you're interested in getting involved with either of those chapters in Indiana, send me an email at stash@normal.org. If you're elsewhere in Indiana and would like to get involved in forming a Normal chapter, I can help you do that too. Just check out our website at normal.org/chapters, and you can see the contact for all of the current Normal chapters. Or you can go to our website if you'd like to get involved in forming a chapter. Go to stash.normal.org, look up in the top menu up in the black area there, and you'll find a link that says Normal chapters. When you hover on that link, you'll find links to all of the information and instructions you'll need to get ready to form your own Normal chapter.
Marijuana is an addictive drug which produces in its users insanity, criminality, and death.
Marijuana is the most violence-causing drug in the history of mankind.
If the hideous monster Frankenstein came face to face with the monster of marijuana, he would drop dead from fright.
For our Reefer Madness, I want to continue on the theme of the mainstream media and their refusal to air any sort of advocacy ads from nonprofits dedicated to ending marijuana prohibition. We've talked about this with regard to the Normal Money Tree ad that CBS is refusing to run on their Times Square billboard. We also mentioned this this last summer, how this very show, Normal Show Live, was originally put together to be on a CBS radio streaming network called chataboutit.com. We were all geared up to go live on those CBS networks and do all the promotion, and they pulled the plug at the last second on that deal as well. Fortunately, we were able to find Stick'Em and get this show running anyway, but for the last four times in 2 years that we've had an opportunity at Normal to provide some sort of advertisement on the mainstream media, on CBS that is, they have turned us down. And it's not just Normal, in case you might think it's a vendetta against Normal. Marijuana Policy Project put together some marijuana ads for California and New York. These featured medical marijuana patients, indicating that they wanted to be taxed and regulated. And these ads were denied by many local affiliates, including many CBS affiliates. We also put up the point that CBS is not ashamed of making money off of marijuana. They own the Showtime Network, which of course has a big hit in the show Weeds, so they've got no problem running that. And of course, they've got their website, CBS Marijuana Nation. Just Google CBS Marijuana Nation, and you'll find pot leaves all over their website. So it's not like they've got a problem with the pot leaf. They've got a problem with the content of the ad. Now, where this became difficult is that it's not like we think that CBS should be forced to run advocacy ads. If CBS wants to ban advocacy ads and not have any sort of political issue ads on TV or on their billboards, that would be one thing. However, the problem is that's not their policy. They seem to want to pick and choose whose political speech they support. During the Super Bowl, they ran the Tim Tebow ad, of course. This was the anti-abortion Focus on the Family ad. They had no problem running that one. And now I'm going to give you the latest ad that we turned out. We got an email from some of our supporters in the Atlanta, Georgia area involved with Georgia Normal. Check them out at georgianormal.org. And they showed us these pictures of billboards that are now running on CBS billboards in the Atlanta, Georgia area. I'm going to put this up on the web screen, and I'll describe what's going on for the people who are just listening to this on podcast. But of course, we start with the Normal Money Tree ad. Very simple animated flash ad with pot leaves and dollar signs on a tree and the words "money can grow on trees." Then a big pot leaf says "legalize marijuana, billions in taxes," and the final tagline is "Normal, working to legalize responsible use." Now, the ad that CBS found was perfectly okay to run on their billboards in Atlanta is one that, and then let me pull this up here on the desktop. There we go. And we'll pull this ad up for you. This is in Atlanta right now. Folks on the webcam can see this right now. Black children are an endangered species. And I've got this, I've got it showing right now. You can see this ad. Black children are an endangered species, and it's got a picture of a little African-American infant, and the website tagline down at the bottom says TooManyAborted.com. Black children are an endangered species, TooManyAborted.com, and right at the top of the billboard, you can see the little CBS logo, because that's one of the thousands of billboards that CBS owns. Now, if you would like to do something about this, if you'd like to get involved in calling out the hypocrisy of the CBS network, I got two suggestions for you. Number one, Change.org has gotten involved with this. The folks at Change.org, the progressive organization here, have run an online petition to tell CBS to reconsider putting on the normal ad, especially in the face of all of these anti-abortion ads they have no problem running. So just go to Change.org, and I've got you a quick link if you want to write this one down. It's bit.ly/normal-CBS. HTTP bit.ly/normal-CBS. And the normal-CBS part has to be in all capital letters. We are over approaching 10,000 signatures on this petition already. It's really starting to blow up. There's also a little widget that you can get from the normal page. Just go to normal.org. We've got the link to the widget. You can put it up on your website, your MySpace, your Facebook, and pass this around. Or just pass around the link bit.ly/normal-CBS, and we can get this petition really blowing up. The other suggestion I would make to you is, I get a lot of people in the comments and in the chat room saying, oh, boycott CBS, boycott CBS. Yeah, that's kind of like boycotting chicken. I mean, CBS is everywhere. You don't know how many things they've got their fingers into, and not just the CBS television networks, but all of their cable networks and sports networks and so on. Trying to boycott something that big, not only would it not be effective, but it wouldn't be noticed. It's not very well targeted. So if you are the kind of person who's into boycotts and you want to do something, boycott the Showtime show Weeds. Just boycott Weeds. Go out to Weeds fan boards, forum boards, message boards, and just write in their comments that you don't support Weeds because CBS doesn't support normal, won't show a normal ad. If you're one of the people who've bought a poster or a book or a sticker or the DVD set of Weeds, send it back to CBS with a note enclosed that say, I'm sending this back because I can't support your entertainment if you won't allow normal to advertise. I think a targeted boycott on Weeds would send the message that says, you can't profit off the cannabis community by portraying the cannabis community unless you're willing to support the cannabis community. I'm really sick and tired of marijuana being the modern day 21st century minstrel show, where shows like Weeds or That 70s Show or Cheech and Chong, we're allowed to put on our green face. As long as we put the green face on and shuck and jive like the little stoners, they got no problem showing us. But anytime we want to show an intelligent, important news story or political ad or any sort of advocacy that seriously deals with the issue of marijuana law reform, they don't want to hear it. They want us to just go back and shuckin' and jivin', being the funny stoners, being the little entertaining stoners from Pineapple Express or Harold and Kumar. They don't want to hear about the stoners that get locked up for a seed. They don't want to hear about the stoners who give birth and have their babies taken away right there in the hospital because they turn up positive for some sort of marijuana metabolite. They don't want to hear about any of that, but they're more than willing to make the money off of Cheech and Chong and Weeds and Harold and Kumar and Pineapple Express and That 70s Show. And it's time we stood up and said something about it. This is ridiculous, folks. This is America. We have to stand up for our rights. They're not going to be given to us, and we can do it together. Join us all at normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org, and join us on this show, Normal Show Live, Monday through Friday, every Monday through Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down.